Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the August 6th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 50 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Micah Mullally and myself will once again take on some of the hot topics in the world of motorsports. Tonight, the show hits yet another milestone, the big 5-0, as it were, and as such, we wanted to treat you with one of the biggest automotive personalities we could find. That's why our first guest tonight is someone who not only delves into the world of motorsports, but also the world of music, entertainment, and more. April Rose is a combination of actress, comedian, TV host, and model. This original cast member of MTV2's highest-rated show, Guy Code, and its successful spin-off MTV's Girl Code, was honored as MTV's infamous 2014 MTV Spring Break host in Cancun, Mexico. For 2 years in a row, April was listed in Maxim magazine's annual definitive list for the world's most beautiful women, Maxim's Hot 100, and Answers.com listed her in their top 10 sexiest women in the world. She has been cover model of Maxim Canada's premier issue and multiple Maxim American and international spreads, and hosted Maxim's Super Bowl party on the red carpet 5 years in a row, serving as Maxim's main on-camera talent.
In 2013, April made her movie debut co-starring in Sony Pictures' Grown Ups 2 as Chasey Knox, a Russian dance instructor, alongside WWE's Stone Cold Steve Austin as her boyfriend. Currently in production, April will be playing the female lead in the remake of Any Which Way You Can, directed by James Fargo and originally starring Clint Eastwood in 1973. She is an on-air contributor for many VH1 countdown shows, including I Love the 2000s, Top 40 Hip Hop of the 90s, Top 100 Hottest Rock Stars of All Time. She is also an on-air contributor for Live Fox Sports Network's broadcast of Barrett Jackson Auto Auction, and as a classic car commentator on her own series on Chicago's Comcast Sports Network, Chicago Face-Off with April Rose, featuring the Chicago Blackhawks.
She is the executive producer and co-host on CSN's Bears pregame show, Chicago Huddle, and can be seen on Fox Network's hit drama series Empire. April has a huge online presence with her series Maximum Exposure, which she created, wrote, and hosted for Maximum Online for 3 years. She now hosts Playboy.com's successful web series Hashtag AR Files, and can be seen as the face for many Jim Beam's Devil's Cut campaigns, alongside Kid Rock, and appeared in the new product launch of the company's white whiskey, Jacob Ghost, playing the part of Rosalind, Jacob's girlfriend. She's going to be on the line momentarily, and we're very happy that she agreed to come on the show this evening. We've been trying to get her on the program for some time, as she is one of the most recognized pitch people, I suppose, in the world of motorsport. She's been involved with NASCAR, with sports cars, and most recently with the Barrett Jackson Auto Auctions. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm really tired, actually. My sister just bought a house, so we've been moving her. And, yeah, we've been doing this since, like, early this morning, and I'm ready for bed.
Well, you can go to bed in another hour or so. I think that'll be okay.
Yeah. How are you?
Not too bad. Having an exciting day. It's a little warm out here today. Got up to about 97 degrees here. So not quite as warm as it was out there, but I think it's a little more humid here. So it's just a normal summertime day in South Florida.
I heard it was really rainy the other day.
Yeah, it's been a lot of rain here. Most of it was on the West Coast, but we did get quite a bit of it over here as well. Not the flooding stuff they got over there in Tampa, but they can keep that there. There's been only a couple of times it's flooded that bad here, and both of them are related to the hurricanes 10 years ago. So they can keep the hurricanes,
wow,
too. That's That's a little too windy and a lot too much rain.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom was just talking about how she wants to move to New Orleans, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Should be exciting over there, Mike. I'm going on a trip there in about a week or so, so it should be an interesting place to visit anyway. I don't know how well it would be to live there. I know it's toasty, it's humid, and there's really nowhere to escape the heat there in New Orleans. But it'll be an interesting spot to look around and see all the sights, take part in the ghost tours and all that. So should be interesting. So how did you like this past weekend's racing action in NASCAR?
I didn't really watch it. I know that's like the answer you get all the time. I don't know why, but I haven't really been watching NASCAR lately. Mm-hmm. But I was keeping up with it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I kind of keep up with it, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that Kyle Busch is on a hot streak. That makes me happy. I wish it was Joey Logano, but what do you do?
It was quite the race there. The ending was something with all the pit strategy and the late race, the fuel strategy stuff, where everybody seemed like all the major players in the race ended up dropping out because they ran out of gas. But that happens sometimes too.
Yeah. How do you think the race is going to be at Watkins Glen?
I think it'll be pretty good. I think that the rain might be an issue there, but supposedly they've got the rain tires and they got the windshield wiper and the little headlight bar and the taillights all set up for the Sprint Cup. So it should be quite the thing if they end up getting a little bit of rain there. If they get a lot of rain, I don't think they'll have it anyway. But if they get a little bit of rain, it'll definitely be something to see with the cars going through the driving in the rain with their little fancy windshield wiper on.
That would be kind of cool.
And Watkins Glen definitely has a history in NASCAR. Even when it's not raining, they have some pretty intense action on the track. And they've had the one thing a couple of years ago where they red flagged the race and people ran out and tried to get autographs from some of the drivers. And they've had some pretty bad accidents too. It's just definitely a different place up there in upstate New York. So.
Yeah.
So what are your big plans while the show takes a couple of weeks off for the end of the summer?
I have a friend that I'm going to go watch race that I haven't ever watched race. I know that kind of makes me a bad friend, but so I'm going to go watch him race. And hopefully we get the car built again since we didn't get a race last weekend because it decided to blow up before it even left the garage. So hopefully we get that built again because Euphrata Raceway has 3 weeks off, actually. So it's like perfect timing for everything. So, yeah, pretty much my plans. What about you?
I'm going away there, as I mentioned, going out to New Orleans for a week or so. So that should be something a little different. Haven't done that before. It's somewhere I haven't been. Be my first time on an airplane in a couple of years. So that's always interesting. It'll be neat to try some of the food there and see the. Looking forward to the World War II Museum, actually. That might be a little bit different too. My grandparents were all involved in the war effort. My great aunt was involved in World War II as well. So be interesting to see how all the exhibits there.
Yeah. Well, as always, when you go on these spectacular trips, take lots and lots of pictures.
I plan on it. Hopefully I get a few interviews too, which will be, because I'm doing a few stories for other websites as well. I've done a few preview things for Designing the Fear, which is a basically a haunted attractions type website. But they also do a few different tour things. Basically, it's anything that's, that involves ghosts and that sort of stuff. So if you want to check that out, you can go to designingfear.com. I recently did a piece there about the New Orleans Phantoms or French Quarter Phantoms. It's a tour company there. I also did one about the Haunted History Tours the other day. It just gives you an idea about the different tour companies and a couple of little ghost stories in there. It's kind of interesting. Good reads. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, check out designingfear.com. As I stated, we're standing by for April Rose to call in, hopefully this evening. Our guest after that will be a guest who's been on the program before, Luke Rakowski, who races in lawnmowers. And that's always a fun thing to talk about. And he'll be calling in roughly 20 minutes' time. While we're standing by, we're going to go ahead and listen to a song from Ron Pistana and the Pit Crew. Enjoy Race Day Rock. We're back on with Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, and in 1 second we'll have April Rose on the line. Stand by.
Hello?
Hello, this is Adam Sinclair with Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, good. How are you?
Not too bad. As stated in your introduction, you've had a long and varied career in the entertainment field. How do you define yourself?
Gosh, I don't know. I'd say a dog owner, first of all, because that's important to me. But that doesn't sound exciting. Because I've done so many things, so it's hard to define myself. I've worked with Fox Sports. I work with football. Right now I'm working for Playboy, and I work for MTV, so I'm kind of all over the place. But cars are definitely my passion. I've always been a huge car nerd, car lover.
I know a few years ago you were a regular attendee of some of the IMSA races in support of the WeatherTech team as well as a few others. Who's your favorite sports car driver and why?
For that series?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say Cooper McNeil because he's the son of the owner of WeatherTech who has me out there. So I would say he's probably considered more of a gentleman driver, but he's mm-hmm. so passionate about cars and he's such a great guy. And, I don't really know a lot of the drivers. I worked with Justin Bell, who has driven in the series before, and now he's on the broadcast. And so probably between Cooper McNeil and Justin Bell, I guess.
This season, you've been attending a few more NASCAR races, interviewing Cole Witt and shadowing the Chip Ganassi team more recently. What do you think of the recent announcement by Rick Kaufman of Michael Waltrip Racing that he's going to buy into the Ganassi team?
Chip is really, really excited about that. And he's been trying to expand his team for a while. In the IndyCar series, he has 5 cars that he runs, and so he's looking forward to add a third to his NASCAR team, and so that's really exciting to him. And I know they've been friends for a long time. And the guy that's buying in is a huge car lover and a Barrett Jackson fan, which I worked on the broadcast for 3 years. And so I obviously have a lot to talk to him about because he's very passionate about collector cars and classic cars.
I know you just mentioned it, that a lot of the fans of the show will recognize you as one of the co-hosts of the Barrett Jackson Auto Auctions. I know they've had some changes in staffing and all that, but have you been approached to doing more of those broadcasts in the future? And if you were, would you be interested in doing that?
Yeah, I love Barrett Jackson and Craig Jackson, one of the owners, and all their staff has been really great to me. The Velocity Network took over the broadcast, and so they used a lot of their talent that they have on other TV shows, on their broadcast. And so they have Christy Lee, who is fantastic with her knowledge on cars. And she fills a good spot on the broadcast because a lot of the guys now, like Steve Mignante and Mike Joy and Rick DeBruhl, they know their cars inside and out. They can tell you, there was some taillight package that was only offered in the Northeast dealerships for 1974, and it's so specific. But their knowledge on motorcycles isn't as extensive as Christy Lee's, and I believe she used to race them, and so I think she's a great addition mm-hmm. to the broadcast. Of course, I would love to be out there with the guys and on the team, but I do think they made a great selection bringing some of their talent in the broadcast as well.
What's your favorite car you've ever seen at the Barrett Jackson auctions?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We sold the Batmobile, like the original Batmobile, I think two years ago, maybe 3 in Scottsdale, and I believe it went for $4.2 or $4.6 million, and it was just so neat to, and what really raises the prices of cars at these auctions is when two guys want that one car, and that's all it takes. And they go back and forth trying to outbid each other. And it doesn't matter of the value of the car. It's what these two guys think is the value. and they go back and forth. And so that's what happened with the Batmobile, and they were sitting next to each other. And what happened is the price was going up so high between the Batmobile and the Millions, they decided to flip a coin when they got to around $4.5 million. And they said, this is stupid. We're just going to keep going back and forth. We both want it. And they flipped a coin, and the one man won it. I forgot what his name was. And, you know, we asked him, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this iconic car that defined culture in America? And he said, I'm going to keep it in my living room. So I don't know if he actually did or not, but that was a great thing to watch unfold live on television.
I'd now like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally, and Afraid of Washington, who has a couple questions for you as well.
Sure.
So this is probably an obvious question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you ever thought about doing any race car driving yourself?
I am dangerous behind the wheel. I don't know if that's a good idea. I would love to, but I've kind of, in, you know, I don't know if it's a good thing for women because we've tried so much for, you know, equal rights and, you know, and all that fun stuff. But I love sitting in the passenger seat with my man or sitting on the back of a motorcycle with my man and kind of letting him take control. So I guess I'm more traditional, and women can hate me for saying that, but that's just how I am. And, you know, I'd love to get behind. I've been to a couple tracks where they let me drive. I did a Ferrari at the Richard Petty driving experience. I think that was in Walt Disney World, and that was incredible, but also very dangerous to have me behind the wheel, I think. It's not very safe.
Of all the things that you have done in your career, like with MTV and stuff, what has been your favorite?
You know, I really, truly loved working on the Barrett Jackson Auction. And the biggest reason I'd have to say is because I learned so much from the guys that I was working with, just listening to them talk about cars and how they look at cars to see, you know, how the cars have been restored and which parts, you know, are fake, which are recreated, which are all original, and just really being hands-on. When we were on air for the Barrett Jackson broadcast, we spent an entire week together, you know, 14-hour days usually, of just enamored and immersed into the car world, and I learned so many priceless things about cars, and it was just a really neat experience. And so that probably has to be the greatest thing that I've done in my career.
What sparked your interest in cars?
What was that question? What started?
Sorry, what sparked your interest? Like, in cars in general?
You know, ever since I was little, I've always been the girl that can recognize what car is coming down the street before you see it, you know, before you see the logo, the obvious logo. I've just always been able to identify it and be into it and observe them. And there was just some kind of instinct, I guess, if that makes sense, that I've been able to notice. And you know, being a teenager, I think it's your first taste of independency and freedom to kind of, you know, get out of your parents' house and explore the world. And I've driven cross-country quite a few times and a couple times alone and on the road. And to be able to experience that, you know, and taking the right car is all about the good experience to do that in.
What is your all-time favorite car?
You know, I get asked that a lot, and I think like a typical girl, my opinion changes all the time, but I've always been partial to kind of the early Mustangs, you know, I guess you could say 64 and a half, but kind of when they first rolled out with them, there's just something special about that pony car craze that started with the Mustang, and you know, I don't know if it's because there's a horse logo, and when I was little, I just thought it was cool. It could be as simple as that, but I just always thought that I loved the look of them. I loved how they sounded, and I've always wanted one, and I'm still waiting for one, the right one.
what was the first car you ever owned?
My brother gave me, I think it was a 95 Camaro, which was really neat, and they got crashed. And then the first car that I actually bought was the Charger when they first came out with the retro styling. And that was neat because it was a car that, you know, the younger generation that we could actually afford on our own. You know, you see these kind of cool muscle cars, and some of them are priced way out of your price range. But the Charger, when it first came out, you know, the bottom model, it was affordable. It's not the one, it doesn't have the Hemi, but I could still afford it. So, you know, that was pretty neat.
Are you more of a truck person or a car person?
Well, I'll kind of change that question when it comes to dating. If a guy pulls up in a truck, I'm a little more interested in him, if that makes sense. I don't know. I've always kind of been a truck girl. I think it's because they're bigger and more masculine, but, you know, I've always wanted a truck. I live in Chicago, so they're not really practical. You can't really park them anywhere, but I love trucks.
I had a question and I completely forgot what it was.
That's okay.
this is just right off the top of my head, so this really isn't important or anything, but like I said, this might sound bad, and I apologize, but do you, like, judge people by their cars? Like, because I know sometimes I'll be like, oh, they drive a Honda. They must not be very nice.
No, I totally get what you're saying. And I think we all judge people on a variety of different things. And cars are a big thing we judge people on. And my big thing is, I will judge you on if your car is clean and if it's running, if you're taking care of it or not. You know, if I get in and there's, like, fast food cups and bags and dirt and the seatbelt doesn't work and there's a cracked windshield, you know, I'm going to think you're a lazy bum douchebag and you don't take care of yourself, and, you know, you're probably not going to take care of me, or, you know, you're going to let me kind of get to that point, you know, so... I think there's certain ways to judge people. You know, it's not the expensive car that is necessary. It's how you take care of your car.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that makes sense because, like, you know, like you just said, if you don't take care of your car, how are you going to take care of the person you're with?
Exactly. Yeah.
That makes sense.
What's the next big project you're going to be working on now?
Right now, I just started working for a local radio station in Chicago, 97.9 The Loop. It's like a classic rock station. And it's kind of where I got my career started. So I'm back there. And then I'm working on a Bears pregame show for Comcast Sportsnet in Chicago. And then I work for Playboy. I write and host their weekly web show. And they're on kind of social topics. And one of the biggest episodes, or the highest viewed episodes I did, was what does a man's car say about him? And it was interesting because I have a lot of topics, but that one seemed to spark people's interest the most.
I saw that you actually interviewed the same driver I got to interview earlier in the year, Cole Witt. What was your impression of him, and how do you think he'll be doing in the future of NASCAR?
You know what's interesting is I interview a lot of athletes, and I always find NASCAR drivers and hockey players to be very humble and very real people. They don't have big egos. Now, you know, I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm sure you're going to always run into someone that's different, you know, in every sport. But Cole was right in line with, and I don't know if people use this terminology, but he's like the boy next door. Okay, normally people say the girl next door, but he's the boy next door, where he's just a very real, down-to-earth, like, he doesn't even know that he's a NASCAR driver on national television with, you know, millions of people watching. Like, he thinks he's driving in his backyard track, and he's, you know, I mean, he puts 100% effort into it. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm saying he doesn't have an ego about what he's doing. He doesn't have a complex about it, which is really neat, and it's just, you know, it's about the car, and it's about racing, and, you know, he grew up doing it like a lot of the drivers have.
I know recently you've been doing a lot of work hanging out with the Ganassi team. What's your interest in that particular team?
I had Chip Ganassi and their team asked me to come on to kind of look at social media aspect and see where that's going. And it's just kind of been an interesting trend in media and sponsors and making sponsors happy. And, you know, when you first have a sponsor come on, you know, a lot of them ask you, what's your social outreach? And just kind of getting the word out there about different stories and cool topics. And it's another way to connect to the fans. And so a lot of, you know, football and hockey and everyone's kind of got their let's directly relate to the fans. So not only are we watching the sport on television, but we can actually talk and see the behind the scenes directly on our phones. And so it's almost like the fans are right there with the team. And so I'm just helping kind of introduce my fan base into his racing team, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty awesome. And I wish you lots of luck with that and hope to see you around around the paddock a little bit more. And maybe we'll see you on TV some more later in the future, too.
Cool. I hope so. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the program this evening, and maybe we can talk to you again in the future.
Sounds good. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Once again, that was April Rose, and it was great to have her on the program finally. We've been trying to have her on here for a little while, trying to make our schedules mesh and make the connections there, and this evening it actually worked out. So that's pretty awesome. Our next guest this evening is Luke Krakowski. Luke races in the Capital District Lawnmower Racing Organization. In his rookie year, he ran 8 races in the CDLMRO Big Block Stock Class, where he scored 4 wins and won the track championship.
For the 2015 season, the team moved up 2 classes to the CDLMRO Modified Class, and Steve Hickey, who finished 2nd in points to us in 2014, driving the big block class for us. Mr. Hickey is a former national champion and top 25 world-ranked BMX racer. They also race.
We now
like
to welcome Luke Krakowski. That's okay. We'd now like to welcome Luke Krakowski back to the program.
Oh, shoot.
Hello, how you doing this evening?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thank you for having me on again.
No problem. First, I'd like to ask you the same question I did before. Many people, including myself, would like to know a little bit more about the sport of lawnmower racing. What can you tell us about this unique form of motorsports?
Well, I think the first common misconception is, no, we don't still mow the grass with them. and that is the first question I get is outside of the quizzical look and the lawnmowers, do you still mow the grass? No, we don't still mow the grass. I think the best thing to tell you about lawnmower racing is that you have to see it in person. I talk to people, I tell people about it, about how the different classes vary. You have the stock class where literally you take the blades and the deck off and you go out and you run around the track all the way up to custom-built chassis, V-twin motors running 100 horsepower. And it is something to see. And people who have never seen it, have talked to me about it, come out and watch it and go, this is really awesome to watch, and they have a lot of fun.
I know you're about the midpoint of the season. How's it gone so far?
It's going well. There's been some ups and there's been some downs. Currently, both our machines are first in points in their respective classes. we've entered 22 heats combined as a team and with 17 heat wins, and entered 11 features combined as a team and won 9. So I think we're doing well so far.
What's your average race weekend like?
Well, now it's a little more complicated with the two tractors. The big block stock tractor is not, it's pretty much, that one's preparation for that one on like Saturday. We have a Saturday race, you know, we have Saturday night race, and we'll start, you know, really getting the prep work finalized Saturday morning. That one's pretty simple. The modified is more of a purpose-built racing machine, so that takes a little bit more prep work. So like Saturday, we've done all our midweek teardowns and rebuilds. Saturday, before we head to the track, is just load up, make sure we got everything, run both the machines, make sure we're good. They start, they run, no leaks. Go to the track. We get there early. You know, we set up our canopy tent, our easy up. We put our banners up. We race, and we don't stop until we get back Saturday night. Hopefully things went well. And then Sunday is our teardown day. That's when we'll start taking both machines apart and cleaning and changing the oil and the like to get ready for the next week.
I know you've recently taken up a new cause to raise money for Laps for MD. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yes, I can. It's Laps for Muscular Dystrophy. It was founded by Brad Miller, who was diagnosed with Becker's Muscular Dystrophy at age 10. You can read about him at www.mybeckersstory.blogspot.com. Laps for MD is a network of professional racers, which I'm very honored to be a part of. They donate money. The typical thing is $1 from every lap that they lead. We donate a percentage of our winnings. And they donate that to Muscular Dystrophy Canada. We got involved with them. You know, obviously I'm from upstate New York. That's pretty close to Canada. We are blessed. I'm blessed. My family is blessed to be able to move. I mean, I don't have any neuromuscular disorders or any issues walking around, jumping, anything like that. You know, I can drive my racing machine with no issues, but there's some people out there who can't do that. And I thought it was really, a really cool way for us as a lawnmower racing team to get involved with something like this, and really help out people who are not as fortunate as us or you know, blessed as ourselves, as far as physical health, and just helping out by doing something that we do as a hobby, and we just love to do and have fun at it. It was a really cool combination, and we're really proud to be associated with them.
And what form of auto racing do you feel would be the most similar to lawnmower racing?
That's a good question. I think it's a little bit a cross between go-karts. I mean, you have the smaller cart-like chassis and just full-blown big car dirt track racing. There's really nothing that I can say is really similar to it, just because if you were to take a go-kart chassis and you would talk about setup on a go-kart chassis, there's similarities, but it's nothing compared to like how you would set up a lawnmower chassis. And the lawnmower chassis doesn't have suspension, so you can't set it up like a big dirt car or say like a slingshot chassis. So it really is unique, but I think the similar would probably be go-karts.
Well, now I'd like to throw out to Michael Mullally in Freight of Washington, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
Okay.
What is the fastest you have ever gone on a lawnmower?
Let's see. Well, the stock one, that's going to be close to 40. And the modified, I can only guess. We talked about finding a friend of ours who's got a radar gun who can radar gun us at the track. But I think the modified with gearing, straight line speed, will probably do 60. But the fastest I've ever gone, I can't say for certain, but I'm probably consistently around the track this year in the modified, probably about 40 miles an hour.
Wow. how does lawnmower racing work? Does, I mean, like, you know, like circle track racing or local racing, you know, you have the green flag and all that good stuff. Is it kind of like, does lawnmower racing work like that?
It works exactly like that. I'll just give you a quick rundown of our Saturday night race time. We have our driver's meeting, just like, you know, you're going to go to your Friday night, Saturday night local dirt track. We have our driver's meeting, go over any maybe issues we've had. Then all the drivers and all the class, we draw for starting position for our first heat, run out, run the heat. Heat two is run in, invert the finish from heat one, and then we redraw for the feature. So it's a legit, you know, racing operation. You know, there's pit passes, you know, we pay to race, and there's a payout in our club, and there is a flagger, green, white, checkered, and yellow flag, and the black flag if you're, you know, driving a little bit too rough. So it's legit, and it's a lot of fun.
Do you guys get, like, good crowds that come to these lawnmower races?
It's hit or miss sometimes. Our last race was really nice. We had a really good crowd there. I would say that for a good crowd, probably 200 to 300 people. You know, it's a smaller track. It's a smaller venue. You don't have, you know, big stands that can hold, you know, say like 5,000 people like Fonda Speedway up here. But if you get a couple hundred people coming to our event, that's a really good crowd, and that makes it a lot of fun to drive around in front of a crowd like that.
Do you drive at one specific track, or do you guys, like, travel?
We have two tracks in the area that we race at currently. We haven't done any traveling yet this season. I'm not sure about next season. I'm still going over plans with my other driver and myself and sponsors and stuff like that. But I would like to do some traveling, but currently now we do not. We just race at the two local tracks that our club races at.
Is it always, like, I mean, obviously you just said that you race at, you know, that track. Is there other, like, lawnmower races where, is it always on dirt, or do you guys sometimes do it on pavement, or?
We only race on dirt. We race dirt track. And the majority of the lawnmower clubs are dirt track racing. I have seen and heard of indoor events. They call them Coke syrup events because they put Coke syrup down on an indoor concrete floor and race around there, but we don't have anything like that up here. We're strictly dirt track, and I think 90% of the lawnmower racing out there is strictly dirt track.
To race in the specific club that you race in, do you have to be a part of that club, or can you just enter for a weekend and go race that weekend, or do you have to, like, be, I guess, loyal to that club? It's not really the word I was looking for, but...
No, that's a very good question. No, we have two races ago, we had some people come up from a club that was a little southern part of the state from us, and they came up and raced. And so, no, you don't have to be a member of the club to just pop in, you know, say you want to come from out of state and you want to race with us. No, you don't have to be a member of the club. You just show up, and we'll put you in whatever class your tractor fits best with how we race, and we'll have a good time.
Is lawnmower racing always, like, a circle track racing, I guess, or do you guys ever, like, drag race your lawnmowers?
I think if there's anything with four wheels and a motor, you know, we'll do pretty much anything with it. There are lawnmower drag races. You know, we don't do anything like that up here. And there also are lawnmower tractor pulling. So there's... Lawnmowers do quite a bit of different things. There's also, believe it or not, lawnmower demolition derbies.
And what's your favorite event you've ever competed in? What's your most memorable moment in lawnmower racing?
I think, obviously just the first time out racing. That's a good question, because there, I think winning is always memorable. This season, coming out second race of this year, and in the modified, the new chassis, the new class, and we won in our second race out, and that was special to me. We had a lot of preparation going into it, and the previous race was kind of a guessing game as to where setup wise and driving and what I wanted, and we did some changes in between races and it worked out. And I would say that aside from just the first ever race going out, and that would be, you know, my most memorable there was the first win in the modified.
I think I asked you this before, but what's your ultimate racing goal?
You know what? I remember what I said. What I said last time I was on. I want to race big cars. I want to travel. At this point, my racing goal is to just improve. My ultimate racing goal is to get better every week.
Okay.
And where that takes me is going to be, you know, up to the good Lord about what He wants me to do. If He wants me to continue here, that's fine. You know, I have a family and priorities and all that, but. My ultimate racing goal is just to improve myself every week out in some aspect of running the team, driving, figuring out something else. Right now, at this point, my ultimate racing goal is just to keep getting better and improving.
Well, that's a pretty lofty goal and a good one to have, too. It's a great place to be, and I wish you lots of luck in that.
Well, thank you.
And have a nice evening, and we hope to talk to you again maybe at the end of the season.
All right, thank you very much for having me on again. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
No problem. Once again, that was Luke Rakowski, lawnmower racer in upstate New York, who races for Laps for MD. You can check that out, Laps for MD. It's LAPS for MD. I've had some other racers on this program who also support that cause. Most of them, as we said, are Canadian. But you can check that out. And sounds like a pretty good cause. I'd like to thank all of our guests this evening, April Rose as well as Luke Rakowski. And we're going to be taking a few weeks off, but I look forward to hearing from you again in a few weeks. It's going to be a busy few weeks in racing. They've got the IMSA race coming up this weekend. They've got the NASCAR race in Watkins Glen is going to be going on. IndyCar is going to have a busy few weeks. The IHRA has a busy few weeks as well, as does pretty much every other racing series is going to be. This is it. Summertime is a really busy racing time. What race are you most looking forward to this coming up?
I don't know. Probably we had plans to go to the NHRA Nationals this weekend, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we probably won't go now because... because of my sister getting her new house, which is not a bad thing, don't get me wrong, that's a very good thing. So, I mean, I guess that's a good thing to miss a race for. So, I mean, that's what we were really looking forward to, but I'm honestly just looking forward to having a good running race car, hopefully really soon, that I can just go out and lap everybody in. That would be amazing.
There you go. Did you get it all repaired now, back in running order?
No, actually, because we were supposed to race last weekend, and then we didn't even make it out of the garage, and we've all just been really busy helping my sister, that it's still actually sitting in the car, and so, because we actually have a race this weekend, but we probably won't make it, which is fine, you know, because like I said, it's the last race before we take 3 weeks off, but, so, you know, no rush, I guess. You know, so kind of just enjoy helping my sister with her big milestone, and then she can have fun with her house, and I'll go work on the race car.
There you go. And when's your next big race that you're supposed to have? In about a month or a little bit longer than that?
It is in about a month. But we're hoping that the beginning of October, October, we're hoping that we have the car ready to go race the mini stock nationals in Yakima at the speedway up there, which is, I think, it's a little bit bigger than the track that we race on here, but it pays $5,000 to win, and they have to break it up into two races because they have about 70 to 80 mini stocks that show up to race. So we're hoping that the car will be ready and good for that, and that would actually be really exciting.
I think I've actually seen a race from Yakima Speedway online a few times. So.
Yeah, it's a really nice track. The last time I was there was when the Legend cars, I believe, were there. And it's actually, it's a really nice track. The people are really nice and stuff, so would not surprise me in the least bit.
Yeah. As I stated, the show will be taking a few weeks off for well-deserved summer vacation, but be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar, or simply by going to Facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. I did some reviews today about the IHRA. I did a couple of motorcycle articles as well, so you might want to check that out. There are some interesting racings going on in the pro motocross, as well as in the AMA, which has the flat track racing. Definitely a lot of changes going on in the American Motorcycle Association, and I'm trying to keep up with as many of them as I can.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with, like, every, I mean, as you say, aspect of racing, because there's really just so much.
Mm-hmm. And the AMA is they're sort of in transition, because they've moved away from the really big superbikes and gone more into the flat track things, the Harley Davidsons, all that, which is cool, I suppose. But I prefer the superbikes, the Daytona superbikes, and then the World superbikes. They're a little more impressive than seeing the little Harley Davidsons go around a little flat dirt track 10 times. But that's just me.
Maybe they should bring the lawnmowers in for like a intermission type thing when
there
they're
go.
Not racing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on the 27th. In the Thunderdome, when we will welcome LFR development driver Quinn Huff.
Once again, have a nice couple of weeks, and we look forward to having you here again on August 27th. Good night, and thanks for listening.